morning. Today is Thursday, January the 24th. Joining us this morning, fellow warrior, Marty Coelho from College of the Redwoods. And you're even wearing almost CR red.
Colors. Ah. Yeah.
Well, the gold isn't really there. Well, and you can't use your watch and ring as gold.
Can't do that.
No.
No, it's fake gold anyway, probably.
You got to talk to somebody else, not me. Oh, Howard, why do they say that? Are you ready for something challenging to start your morning with,
sir? You usually throw me a curveball, that's for sure.
Well, you know, actually, curveball would be great if it was here with the Hall of Fame elections last week.
Yeah, that's true.
But don't have clodhopper.
Clodhopper.
Why do we call a dullard? Where did the dullard get the name clodhopper?
Clodhopper.
Not to be confused with Clem Cladiddlehopper, the Red Skelton character.
I don't know, clodhopper and dullard. Thinking maybe tied back to a mule.
All right. In early England, the peasants were uneducated. It was therefore assumed that they were unintelligent. So I guess there is kind of a blend here to CR and education.
Did you need it? Yes.
The gentry rode horses across the fields, which the peasantry walked afoot, hopping over the clods of earth turned up by the plow.
Gotcha.
They were literally
clodhoppers.
Clodhoppers, yes.
Oh.
There you go. A little something you can share all over campus today.
Oh, exactly. I'm always learning something.
Boy, that Coelho kid is so smart.
Yeah, you hear that a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's just say the kid part's been a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Leave it there. Last couple times we've talked, Marty, or since in the last couple months, I've had a number of folks, even earlier this week, Stefan and I were out at the Kika transmitter site, and he said that he's got a number of buddies who are concerned about some of the career tech positions that we talk about. There's the need, you know, for the plumbers and electricians and the auto mechanics and all these folks that are, I guess, haven't been that popular in the last little bit. Now there's a big resurgence going back into it.
Right.
His buddies had the question, will artificial intelligence make those jobs obsolete?
No, it's an interesting question. I think there's been a lot of stories out in the last couple of weeks about how many jobs that robots are going to be taking here in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Yeah, I'm sure there are jobs that are going to be taken away by robots, but I guess what they keep saying as well is that they need higher skilled people to be able to program the robots, run the robots, fix the robots. So it creates its own industry almost within itself. And I think there's certain jobs that you can't use a robot for. You know, if you need your wiring fixed in your house, you're not going to invite the robot in. Well, at least not for quite a while.
Yeah, so. That's why I was, you know, roofing, okay, you could think of it as like maybe in the field, in agriculture, you know, go row, adjust, row, adjust, row, adjust. But that's not in the cards.
Oh, and if you look at like
plumbing, isn't in the cards,
and right? I mean, and administration of justice, nursing, you know, dental, et cetera, et cetera. These are all positions that yes, robots might help in some function down the road, but I don't think they're totally going to supplant humans being in those roles. All the research is showing that down the road, people are going to have to get more creative. They're going to have to get more entrepreneurial. We're going to be, as humans, much more invested in developing our careers. I think probably when I was in college back in the very early 80s, it was still that era of, you know, you go to college, you come out, you're going to get a job with the company, you're going to work with them for quite some time, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Those opportunities may or may not exist down the road, and people are going to have to be much more engaged in developing their career from the get-go versus saying, hey, as soon as I get my degree, some company's going to hire me right away, and I'm going to have a career.
Well, I would suspect that pick any job, whatever it is, as your efficiencies become greater. We were there, and we were seeing folks climb towers.
Hmm.
Okay. Towers aren't necessarily new. Hanging cell phone things on them... is
right.
Something that's relatively recent, but you still need guys to do the do.
You do. Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting, since some of the conversations we've had with some of the folks you brought in and with the folks from the county office and from Eureka City Schools and St. Bernard's, that there's this resurgence or recognition of these careers that aren't necessarily white collar. They're a little bit more of the doing rather than the orchestrating. Is that happening throughout the entire community college system, throughout the educational industry?
Is this
change, and perhaps the pendulum went a little too far in one direction, and now we've got this dearth, and we have to bring that boy back?
We absolutely went too far. Probably for the last 20-plus years, we've been telling everybody you need a 4-year degree. Yeah, but there's exceptions to that. What we really should have been saying is you need more education after high school, whether it's a trade school, et cetera, 2-year school, 4-year school. You need something after high school. That should have been the message. But what was really message was you need to get a 4-year degree. So we have more folks going to college today than ever before. We have more folks from lower socioeconomic backgrounds coming to school because there's aid available. It's providing a way for people to better themselves and work themselves out of maybe that lower socioeconomic niche. And so we have all these people flooding into the 2-year and 4-year programs, but not necessarily into trades. But yet now we have all these people retiring at 65. There's a huge upswing, 10,000 people a day retiring at 65. And who's going to do all those jobs?
And I guess that's where we're going to start when we come back. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back with more from Marty Quello.
You love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marty Quello. Marty, as you consider some of the different things that are going on, class offerings, or I don't know, you say classroom offerings or you say instructional offerings?
Let's go with class offerings.
All right. Classroom offerings is a little bit broader now than what it has been in the past because of various needs and requirements. What kind of trends do you see there? Are you seeing more lab-based? Are you seeing more in the career tech? Are you seeing more language skill sets? Are you seeing more anything?
I guess an overall trend is technology is working itself into all disciplines. And so regardless of whether you're focusing on math and science or English and arts or career education programs, technology is going to be part of your life. Now, luckily, the generations that are coming up are growing up on technology. So it gives them a leg up versus maybe you and me being able to adapt to that. But technology does not run itself. So when people say, the robots are going to replace all the people. Yeah, to some degree. At the end of the day, all we have to do is think about our computers and how great do they work every day.
Right.
And if we
right.
didn't have IT staff, we literally would be paralyzed as a country.
Look at some of the mills now, the lumber mills that are out there. Yeah, they don't have as many folks working. There's a lot of computers there, but now there's computer techs in the mills.
I think we're going to see just different types of jobs.
Yeah, the same industry, different jobs.
Different jobs, and yes, it may be fewer in this area, but more in another. So
as you look at some of these trends, are the curriculum, are the instructors embracing?
Oh, they're always working on professional development, which is very encouraging. I mean, they like to learn. That's why they're teachers. And so they're always constantly.
Forever students, I think, might be a better phrase.
Yes, that sounds very
forever
diplomatic.
Students, yeah. Go ahead, whip that one out there in the next meeting you have.
Right.
See how quick the lead balloon hits the floor.
Yeah.
Well, things like smart boards and stuff like that, you know, are those...
We've incorporated those into our classrooms and looking at the next iteration of technology in the classrooms. We're on a trend right now that we need to get as many people into education as possible. The opportunities to not get some sort of education after high school, whether it's a trade school, two-year school, four-year school, and get a job and keep a job through time is quickly dissipating. So people have to better themselves. And so our free education program is starting to pull more students in. In fact, we're offering it this spring to anybody that's a California resident, takes a full-time load as a first-time college student. And the college announced that we're going to be offering it for two more years. Now, the state's only funding it has committed for one more year. Hopefully, they do another second year. But we're, regardless, College of the Redwoods is committing to 2 years. We're trying to get a group of students in now who, if they take 15-plus units or so, have the opportunity to complete their whole associate's degree in 2 years and get it essentially pretty low cost to free. So why you wouldn't want to do that if you're considering getting an education, really now's the time to move.
Is that at the Del Norte campus as well and Hoopa as well as the
Exactly. Eureka campus? Yes.
So as you're looking at some of those types of trends that are out there, trying to make it more broadly universal, what about those that are looking for professional development, but they don't need or don't have the ability for 15 units? Say, Quello decides he wants to take a computer class, or Papstein decides he wants to take a radio class. It's there, great. Is anything available, or is that just kind of waiting till they're made available at nighttime or whenever it fits into the schedule?
No, there's definitely
take a class and not worry about it.
Right. There's state and federal aid available, and a very large percentage of Humboldt County's residents, based on their household income, qualify for that aid and support. So at the end of the day, there probably is not a less expensive way to go to school than College of the Redwoods. And, you know, our end game is we want to get as many people their education as possible with as little debt as possible.
So that they actually can get out and breathe.
Well, there's
instead of getting swallowed up with the debt.
There's no point, you know, the trend that's been across this country is we're graduating people out there and they've got the average, I think, is $37,000 of debt. Okay, that is manageable through time. Not fun paying the interest on that, by the way. But there are so many people that are coming out $50,000, $100,000, $200,000. Parents that have taken out personal loans to get their kids through college. We're setting up a generation of young people that are not going to be as engaged in our economy as consumers, and that's not going to help us down the road.
In discussions around the medical, I know the nursing is a significant thing for the school, significant thing for the community also. As you see something like that with some of these other aspects that the school's also embracing, is there an opportunity left to expand some of these high-demand programs, such as the nursing program or, let's say, the truck driving program and those? Or is it a finite resource and you're trying to figure out how to apply it to a lot of different areas?
Well, the CR Foundation is reaching out to a lot more individuals and groups, trying to raise additional funds to grow these programs. We had an individual make a very significant gift to the college to provide scholarships for our trucking program, which I thought was fantastic. Truckers are needed not only here locally, but throughout the state and across the nation. So it's an expensive program. You know, it's going to cost you $4,500, $5,000 to get through that type of program. Scholarships help.
Anonymous?
At this point, I'm not. I've not gotten their permission to release the name. Maybe down the road.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marty Coelho from College of the Redwoods. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redek, Humboldt Pest and Termite. Yeah, Termite and Pest Control. May as well stick with their name. And Murphy's Markets. Marty, as you look at some of the different opportunities that are out there, I know we've got the homeless count thing was going on this week. You guys have got a program for some of those who want to go to school.
Yeah,
we're able to stay, and you guys are really, I guess, yeoman is a word that's often used, doing a yeoman's effort in getting these folks rolling. What's the reception been like? Not by the population, because I would presume that you've got a waiting list.
Right.
Okay, but by the structure, the bureaucratic structure. Are they jumping up and down saying, way to go? Are they still hesitant about it? Are they holding back? What is the engagement with the state and county folks in this little experiment that you guys are doing that's having such great response?
Everyone is very supportive. We're basically running a pilot program that, as far as we know, no one else in the country is even attempting, which is we're providing a scholarship for our homeless students to be housed in our residence halls and fed in our cafeteria. We're putting forward the residence hall rooms, and we're fundraising for the meals. And it has been extremely well received. We've been going around to all the various service clubs and getting grants from various groups. We're trying to house four women and four men in our pilot. We're up to five students already that we're housing for this semester in the program. We are currently working with HCOE and HSU to work on a long-term plan of how we help homeless students in Humboldt County be able to continue their education.
These the traditional students, those coming out of high school and going
Exactly. So within the K-12 system, we have roughly 1,500 confirmed homeless students. Odds are, if we can continue them on their educational path, they're going to end up at CR's door more times than not. And so how can we provide housing for some of those students to keep them going? So we know that we have a better chance and a better success ratio if we can get to them early versus trying to help people, you know, 10, 20, 30 years down the road. Although one of our current scholarship recipients, she's 53. She was living in her van. She used to own her own business. She lost her business. It's interesting. I just read an article yesterday. They're like, well, why are there so many homeless students across the country at this point? And two things. More people are going to college now than ever before, especially from lower socioeconomic groups.
So they just got more people.
We got more people are coming potentially from poverty. And so they don't have the economic reserves if something goes wrong. And then, interesting enough, the article said a lot of these people just run into bad luck. One of our students here, she's 27 years old. She's trying to find a place to rent. You go online, it looks like there's places to rent, but actually a high percentage of those are properties that won't open up for 3 or 4 months. So they're really not available for rent. It's misleading. They're asking for a $25 to $45 application fee. Then they're asking for first month's, last month's, a security deposit, and get this, a co-signer. Well, she's 27 years old. She's been out on her own since she's 18. She can't get a co-signer. So immediately she's being disadvantaged and ends up having to camp in the forest behind her college. I mean, it's just the stories these students tell you, they are some of the most resilient, determined people. They're going to go get their education whether we help them or not. But the point is that these are people that don't know where they're going to sleep. They probably don't know what they're going to do to get a meal, yet they're going to class and getting the grades. And so it's like, if there's a group to invest in, why not invest in the people that are proving that they are going to work themselves out of this situation, and let's make sure they get there.
So if you've got eight now, what a couple of quick questions. I'm stunned that no one else has done it, or at least saying, hey, Keith, how's this working out? And making the call, because it seems like it, you know, if it's easily replicatable throughout the country, any college across the board, why the four-year schools aren't doing it, to me, it seems a little stunning. The junior colleges, why they're not doing it, seems a little stunning. Or are they all sitting back going, yeah, this looks good. Tell us how it's working out for you.
Well, I'm sure some schools are waiting for us to complete our pilot and see how it works. But
they haven't made contact.
Not yet at this point. We're so early into the pilot. But, I mean, you have to look at the overall scenario. So with HSU, they have more students going up there than they have available housing in the community. So at that point, they can't open up necessarily a residence hall room because they're already full at capacity. And that's one of the problems here in Humboldt County. We don't have enough rentals. In fact, one of our homeless students, she was so happy, she finally got a place to rent for $500 a month. And then I'm talking to her, and get this, it has no heat. No heat. So I'm like, okay, I remember coming here in 91, the first 8 properties I saw, I'm not sure I would have put my dog in. And it wasn't until we got to the 9th and 10th properties, we were like, okay, yeah, these are good. These are nice. So, you know, a lot of our students, even if they do get housing, obviously it's not necessarily fully up to par.
What you would feel comfortable with. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you want your kid living in an apartment with no heat during this winter time? I don't think so.
Yeah, a plug-in space heater isn't necessarily the way to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, we do have landlords that are truly working with college students and very much trying to help them and work with them, but it really is going to take a larger commitment from the community, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing across the board from businesses, from St. Joseph Hospital, from service clubs, people are stepping up. They weren't aware this is going on.
Yeah, the information, the message wasn't there because nobody, yeah.
Exactly.
Now, when you talk about that, I know Redwoods has got a fair amount of physical space. Do you want to get into the student housing business?
Well, we have a lot of land that's kind of opening up where our old library was and sciences buildings that are old, and we're trying to figure out what to do with those buildings. Up to your creative arts, we're moving our creative arts building down to the baseball field. Got state funding to build
it. So for a lot of us, that's across the parking lot from the Botanical Society.
Right, exactly. Okay. And so we're moving that
down
to the fish pond.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we're excited about getting that new building here in the next couple of years. But all that property is essentially going to be open. And so we're in discussions with various groups and community supporters to figure out what to do with that land. Now, do we build more residence halls or not? I don't know. There's a lot. Things are always more complicated than they first appear.
Really?
Yes. Funny how that works.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with
more. Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Marty Coelho. Marty, has the state expressed any interest in this? Is this, I know you said it's a pilot program having homeless scholarships or the equivalent of that. I would think that this could be something that a lot of the homeless advocates could get behind, some of those that are the financial supporters of a lot of things in that arena from the private sector, the foundations and things like that would jump in. Have you had any outreach attempts to those entities? Have they come back and said, we'll help you out for next year if this hits these numbers, whatever the numbers are? We're behind you, and here's how much we're behind you, so you can start planning and budgeting and developing and growing this program?
So most of the fundraising has been local at this point to get the pilot program off the ground, even though we're looking, applying for other grants that might be from outside of the area, right? I think the state, chancellor's office, et cetera, are going to have growing interest when we have those success stories after our first semester going forward. And I know these students, a large percentage of them, are going to be successful. They just needed some stability, some transitional housing, get their feet underneath them before they move off to off-campus housing. Or there's already several of them that want to go on to a four-year school. So I think as the program proves itself, which I'm convinced it's going to, the state and chancellor's office are going to be very interested in it.
What does success look like?
I think being able to ensure they're getting the certificates and the degrees that they want to be able to transfer to four-year institutions if they want. If they want to move into jobs in the local community, that we can assist them and help them get there. I think that's the end game, right? education in itself is very worthwhile, but at the end of the day, you have to be able to take care of yourself.
That are some of these, are they able to take the career programs that we were talking about so they could have that almost, not instantaneous employment, but very, very quick turnaround? It doesn't have to be just going on to a four-year
degree. Exactly. They could be in career education programs and not necessarily doing the 2 years. They're earning certificates.
Oh, so it doesn't even have to be for a two-year. It can be for some of the shorter programs.
Exactly. You just have to be a full-time student when you're getting the scholarship. You have to have a certain grade point average, 2.0 or higher.
So you could really start spinning a lot of folks through this program a lot quicker than what you might otherwise if they were all going for the two-year option.
Exactly. I mean, the potential to be able to help more students is based on our open rooms. What rooms can we hold open? And our ability to raise funds to pay for their meals, because it's a hard cost that we have to be able to cover.
Cool stuff. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
See everybody tomorrow.